Just going to take a quick break from the show, everybody, to tell you a little bit more about one of my favorite things in the world, Audible. Audible lets you enjoy all of your audio entertainment in one app. You'll always find the best of what you love, or there's new stuff to discover all the time in Audible. Incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre, from bestsellers to new releases to celebrity memoirs, mysteries, and thrillers, motivation, wellness, business. They got it all here in Audible, and you can have it all too. Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment, including Small Town Murder, Crime and Sports, and Your Stupid Opinions, with highly anticipated new releases and next listen recommendations to habituate every type of thriller listener. And you can keep your heart rate up month after month with this pulse-pounding collection you can't hear anywhere else. The true crime stuff they have is amazing. Right now, what I'm listening to is The Family by Ed Sanders, and it is a full, complete retrospective on the Manson family, kind of all of what they were doing to set their weird stuff up. It is amazing and incredibly detailed. Great stuff, and there's so much more on there. And as an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from the entire catalog, including bestsellers, new releases, latest stuff. You got it. It's all there. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/smalltownmurder or text smalltownmurder to 500-500. That's audible.com/smalltownmurder or text smalltownmurder to 500-500.
Now back to the show.
Small Town Murder fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show early and ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite Small Town Murder episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free, and you'll always be the first to catch our latest episodes, so you can brag to your friends. But that's not all. You can listen to your other favorite shows like Morbid, Mr. Ballin's Medical Mysteries, and Dr. Death ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Pardon My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means. Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening to Small Town Murder ad-free, go to amazon.com/smalltownmurder. That's amazon.com/smalltownmurder, or download the Amazon Music app for free. It's just that easy.
Dive into the chilling new Hulu original series, Under the Bridge, the riveting adaptation of the best-selling true crime book. Based on shocking true events, Under the Bridge tells the haunting story of a murder that lays bare a small community's darkest secrets. Go deep into the hidden world of the town's tormented teenagers as detectives race to solve the sinister crime. Starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone, Under the Bridge is now streaming with new episodes Wednesdays, only on Hulu.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Small Town Murder Express.
Yay, and choo-choo!
Oh, yay indeed, Jimmy. Yay indeed. All aboard the murder train, pulling away from the station. My name is James Petragallo. I'm here with my co-host.
I'm Jimmy Wissman.
Thank you, folks, so much for joining us today. Yeah. We have a crazy Halloween episode of Small Town Murder Express just in time for the holiday. We have it. It took place over Halloween weekend after a Halloween party. It's got all sorts of Halloween-y things going on in it.
Yeah.
Candles and blood and weird stuff.
You can smell the makeup.
Oh, you can smell it. So we'll get to that. Got a lot of story, so we got to do this quickly in the front here. Very quickly, you can still get your tickets to the virtual live show. Yeah. Started on October 27th. It's available for a week after that. ShutUpAndGiveMeMurder.com is where you get those tickets. Join us for a story, not this story, but a Halloween-y story, but you can see visuals and you'll see all the pictures and the crazy people involved in the scenes and also tons of jokes. Do it up. Shut up and give me murder.com. Quickly, patreon.com/crimeandsports is where you get all the bonus material.
Yes.
Holy cow. Whole big back catalog. We have 150 episodes or so. You get $5 or more a month, whatever you want there, is you'll get everything, including new episodes every other week. This week for Crime and Sports, which you'll have access to because you get it all, we're going to talk about the story of Len Bias, who is the one of the most highly touted college basketball players ever, drafted number one overall. He's going to change everything, going to continue the Celtics dynasty into the late 80s. And the night he gets drafted, he drops dead from a heart attack from too much Coke. And that's a problem. We'll talk all about that. And then for Small Town Murder, we're going to talk about the differences between the Jeffrey Dahmer story and the Netflix Jeffrey Dahmer story, what they did to kind of alter the reality into a better dramatic narrative, and to they needed a protagonist, so they had to make one. We'll put it that way.
Right.
So we'll talk all about that. No, it was difficult to find. Any of the protagonists that could have been were murdered quickly, so that didn't have not a lot of legs in the story for them. That's patreon.com/crimeandsports is where you get all of that stuff. And that said, I think it's time to sit back. Everybody out there, it's time to clear the lungs. What do you say there? Wherever you are, hopefully not too public of a place. Clear the lungs and shout,
Shut up and give me murder.
Let's do this, Jimmy.
Okay.
Let's go on a trip, shall we? Let's do it. We are going all the way to Minnesota this week.
Yeah.
Now, I wanted to do, because we did an express last time for Minnesota, so it was due for a regular episode, but this story is perfect for Halloween, and it needed to be told today. So it's, you know, the content takes precedence over schedule at that point.
Sure.
We have to do it. So we're going to Eota, Minnesota. Eota,
is that
Minnesota.
Right?
Yeah.
Is there anywhere else that rhymes with the state like that?
I'm sure there is, but this is really hilarious.
That's way better.
Eota. I don't know if it's Eota or Eota or Eota. Eota? Eota. Let's go Eota, Minnesota. Eota, Minnesota.
A T, it'd be a car. Is it like that?
Well, an E. There's a Yoda on there, like Toyota, but there's the it's E.
It's E-Y?
E-Y-O-T-A, Minnesota.
Oh, okay.
There we go. Southeastern Minnesota, damn near Wisconsin over there. It's in Minnesota's little panhandle in the southeastern part there. That's where it is. It's, and this is all panhandle right here. 2 hours up to Minneapolis, so pretty far from there. It's right outside Rochester. That's the one that Rochester, Minnesota. That's the nearest bigger town. About 2 hours and 10 minutes to Ham Lake, which was our last express episode. Which was, go on out there and get yourselves a honey baked, everybody. It's honey baked season. They're running now. The honey bakes are running, and so you want to get in there.
Better hurry. You'll be late and you'll get brown sugar.
You don't want that, no. Population of this town is about 1,992 people, so less than 2,000. Okay. It's down 14% since 2020, so their people are fleeing for some reason. Median income here, household income, is about $70,000 a year, which is above the national average.
Holy shit.
And the median home price is just above the national average. It's $315,000 is the national that. So, history of this town, not a whole lot going on here, so there isn't a lot of history. They platted the town in 1864. The name means greatest or most. It's derived from a Sioux Indian word, so that's where they got it from. They've had a post office since 1864, all that kind of shit. The earliest settler here was named Benjamin Bear. That was his name.
He's a native or
a
white guy?
No, he's a white guy. Benjamin Bear.
Just happens to be named
Benjamin Bear. Yeah. He has a friend, too. His name was Jonathan Running Elk, which that was a big coincidence. It was strange.
White guy.
Just another white guy.
Irish guy.
Strange, right? He's just from the Running Elks. It's one word. It's actually a tiny village in Ireland, and it's named after it. I don't know. So either way, he came in 1853 he wanted to choose a site with an ever-flowing spring. And he found one here and then returned the following year with his family. The stream is called Bear Creek. It starts from the spring around there and all that sort of thing. The railroad was the big employer over the years, as many of these small towns are. There's not much going on. They laid the streets out on farmland. That's how they did this. In September 2022, they closed the last bank in town. They have no physical banks in town. So you can't physically
for the apps, guys.
But you can't physically go get money out
if you need it.
You're gonna go like buy
an ATM
used car
somebody,
or something.
Right?
I'm sure, but how much can you get out of that? What, $300 or something?
$800 a day.
Whatever it is. I don't know.
That's
can't.
The max.
Depending on your bank, it's that. Yeah. But it's not going to be if you wanted to go buy like a you know, a 76 duster that you found that was rusty and you wanted to hook up.
You better haggle them down under 800 bucks.
Please take a check. No, you won't. They won't take a check because then they have to drive to the bank. God damn it, these fucking banks. So reviews of this town, only a couple because it's a very small town, but and they're pretty good, actually. People seem to like it here. 4 stars. The people are kind and friendly, but there aren't very many hot spots. No shit. It's
2,000 people.
Wow. The most.
What, are you looking for?
What kind of hot spots are you looking for? Let's get everybody here. All the old people and the kids. The most.
We're hoping Nobu would open one of those Asian fusion restaurants around here.
It's a hot area for it. The most exciting places are Quick Trip and Dollar General. So there's that. The Dollar General is an outing. Come on, honey. It's date night. Let's head on down to the Quick Trip for some hot dogs, and then we'll go to the Dollar General while we walk around and eat our hot dogs. That is something. Holy shit.
Let's get one of those frozen Wally drinks and head on over to Dollar General for a family pack of Twizzlers.
Oh, man. It's going to be wonderful.
Big Friday.
3 stars. Iota, or Aota, is a very close community. Everyone, everyone is really friendly and willing to help others out. It's also a safe town, and not many bad things happen here. Well, we'll find out about that.
Don't tell James.
There's no need to be scared while walking home or walking to school. Iota is a good community to live in, and I'm grateful that I do. Okay, this may be like a teenage girl, probably.
Yeah, very, very succinct words.
Yeah.
No conjunctions.
Things to do. Here we go. Okay.
Contractions.
For some reason, it translated in my head to contractions.
Yeah.
Iota Days 2022 here. Oh, boy. Let's see here. There's a kids' pedal tractor pull.
Of course.
Pedal, kids. There's a home run derby. That sounds pretty cool.
Not bad.
That sounds fun. Family bingo. That sounds like a fucking nightmare. Imagine family bingo. Little kids running around. They don't know what they don't know what they're stamping. That sounds like a disaster. Holy shit! How many times do you go? You don't have bingo, Tommy. Sit back down. No.
I didn't call that number.
Jesus Christ. There's a beanbag tournament. I don't know if they mean cornhole. Maybe.
Cornhole, yeah.
Possibly not called cornhole in this area. Then there's also a movie night. That's Thursday. Friday night's family fun night, of course. You can't mess with that. There's hay rides, all sorts of runs, which doesn't sound very fun.
That's not fun at all.
Of course, DJ music by Big Tony. So Big Tony's going to be there, everybody. Rock out to whatever Big Tony's got to offer. Saturday, they're going to close it out strong with the men's and women's softball games, followed by the chicken feed.
Oh.
Do you just feed chickens? I don't know.
Well, we've been so busy all week, they haven't been fed.
I can't. So we've been doing everything here. There's also live music. The Bandanas are playing. At 12:30 p.m. on a Saturday, and then Bob Schlieff will be there as well. So everyone,
he's playing music, or they're just saying he's attending.
He just might be there at 3 o'clock. He's just scheduled to attend at 3 o'clock. And then there's a baseball radar challenge as well. Like, see how hard you can throw there.
Yeah.
And a 3-on-3 bucket bash tournament. I hope that's basketball. I'm not sure though.
What are the chances these people know who all MLB players are? If you're like a AAA player or something, you should pop into town and
clean
be
up.
A ringer at that fucking game.
Just feel like a stud and win a big teddy bear. But
crush everybody.
That said, let's talk about a murder. Let's talk about a murder in this tiny safe town. To do this, we have to go back in time, and this is like the perfect Halloween time to go back in for murder. Yeah. Halloween 1989.
Isn't that perfect? I was going to guess 87.
It's right in the wheelhouse of just Halloween's acid-washed jeans, it's hard to say, are all over the place. This is a mess. Mullets and acid-washed jeans.
And recently, within the last 15 to 20 years, Halloween's gotten a real kick in the ass and turned into something special. Back then, it was you go down to the grocery store and you buy the rubber band
with the staples on it. Yeah, that sort of looks like a cartoon character.
Real thin plastic costume that you put on and rip the armpits on the first try.
Like a terrible dollar store shower curtain. with with dye and stuff on it, and that way, look at me, I'm He-Man now. Great.
Two rubber things that you would tie together behind.
Yeah, it was terrible. Now
to
it's
hold it on.
Costumes are amazing now. Well, now costumes are for, because now adults got into it, so they're like, I'm not wearing that shit. I have to look great when I do it. So now the kids need it too, and it's turned into a very huge thing. So Halloween 1989. Let's talk about some people here. First off, Wayne Edward Lang, we're going to talk about.
Okay.
He's 22 years old. His parents, he comes from a big family. There's six kids in the family. His parents are Genevieve and Kenneth Lang. And he lived in a small farm in the Hinckley/Pine City area. That's where he's from, in Minnesota here. He's the second youngest child. So,
okay.
Younger end of a big family on a farm. Sounds idyllic, right?
Sure does.
Sounds like he's going to turn out just fine. Well, he left home when he was a teenager. Apparently, he didn't like farm life.
Farm living's not for everybody.
It's not. He has some problems here. Now, his father insists he's not an outcast, though. That's not what he is. He just has some problems. They said he's always in touch with the family. He didn't run away from the family and never want to see them again. He's just wanted to do his own thing as a teenager. Okay. And his mother said, quote, he had a drug problem. But he's cleared that all up now as of Halloween season 1989.
Yeah.
He had a drug problem. Now he doesn't. He's 22. He's ready to start his life over. His mother said he's even been helping several friends of his kick their drug habits as well. He's trying to take everybody out of the life.
Should be everybody's sponsor in town.
She said he's made a complete turnaround. He's couldn't be happier with him. He's doing wonderful. He's been drug free from what they said, and he's been helping others. He had some minor run-ins with the law, of course, obviously. Yeah. He had some issues. His parents say he's planning to get married at this point even. He's got some chick he found. They don't know.
He's got the girl.
They're not that close to him. He wasn't just planning on, I'm going to get married someday. To who? That's a question to be answered at a later date, but I will be married. Damn it.
I'm going to get married one day. To who? This tree. I love it so much.
I have a dog that's been very close to me for many years. I feel like maybe we can get married. So
on the tracks and I owe him.
I owe him. So complete turnaround. He's doing great. He moves from that area to Rochester, which is close by Iota here. He worked various jobs in Alexandria, Minnesota for a couple of years and then moved to Rochester. When he gets to Rochester, he's around for a couple weeks in October of 1989. And then he lands a job as a trainee cook at the Ground Round, baby.
Oh, boy.
Ground Round, I don't know how to describe it. It's like Sizzler, kind of, I guess you could call it. Not fast food. It's sit down, but it's not like great food. It's like the Olive Garden of steaks, I guess would be the best way to describe
it. Probably like the Western Sizzlin' of Sizzler. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's not good. It's a step down. But listen, sometimes you got to treat the kid when the kid does great around the house and you take him out.
There you go.
To the Ground Round.
He's going to learn how to cook some low-quality sirloins here. Let's get it on. So he gets a job there on October 24th, okay? And he's works like 4 days. He's getting in with people here. As we'll find out, one of his friends works there, too. He's had arrests in the past for criminal theft, property damage, that sort of thing. Minor stuff. Nothing crazy. Just kind of teenage fuck-up things.
Sure.
At this time, too, there's also a warrant out for his arrest.
Oh, no.
Because he missed a court appearance in Pine County on October 12th. So,
do we know what that was about?
It's one of those charges from before. It was probably a year-old charge of criminal mischief or some bullshit like that. In Alexandria, he met some friends. And he became part of this group that they call the family. Okay.
Oh, boy.
They have a family. Yeah. You know there's going to be a family on the Halloween edition of Small Town Murder.
The family is only good when you have a nickname and you're in New York City or Boston and everybody's
Or you're like a musician or something. Otherwise,
Is there a good family of that?
I mean, you could say if you're in a rap group or something, we're the family and we're all these people. You could do that sort of thing, I suppose. You could, but not. You can't just say we're a family unless you want to be really creepy. And
random dudes that have day jobs should never have the family.
Well, and this family ranges in age and persuasion. It's just a very odd family. We'll put it that way here. Now, he's also, this is the other thing. He arrives in Rochester, doesn't really have any money, but he arrives with friends where he gets an apartment with them and stuff. And he's described around town as kind of a drifter. It's like, if you came with friends and have a place to live, you're not a drifter. You're just a new person who's trying to establish a life. Like, is that how this town is? Who's that? Must be a drifter.
Very few drifters have home addresses.
That's what I mean. And roommates. That's the other thing. It's a lone profession, drifting. You know what I mean? You don't see a pair of drifters, because that's not drifters now. Now they're two dudes. They're not drifters anymore. One guy's a drifter. Just ruins the whole thing. So in Alexandria, he met a few people here. He meets, and these people are in Rochester with him later. They all move. Okay. When people, young people kind of move together in a group, that's a family type of situation, which is very weird.
Is that what they're doing?
Yeah, they moved in a group together to Rochester, which is strange. Huh. This is Michelle Marie Toche. I don't know. T-O-C-H-E is her last name. Michelle Marie sounds like she's very Italian, though. That sounds, huge. She's 25 years old here. And her boyfriend, oh, by the way, she has three kids also.
That are going with them?
She has three. Yeah, she has three kids. Michelle, I don't know. Once you have three kids, you have a family. You don't need to be a part of a bunch of jerk-offs and their weird drifting. And we'll talk about what they're into and shit. Lots of,
you can't do this weird traveling around. And these kids need stability, Ma.
No. But there's a warlock involved and a high priest and a whole deal. So it's a thing here. So her boyfriend is a guy named David Lyle Duncan, and he's 30 years old. And he works part-time at the Ground Round with Lang. They got a job there together. And Lang also lives in the same house with them as well. So
and the kids?
Yeah, he's their roommate, Jesus, I suppose. Yeah. So that's how that's going on. So that's one household there. Uh-huh. And then you have a few other people in the group. So that's a couple, 30 and 25 are their ages. Then you have Lyle Robert McIntyre. Lyle McIntyre. He's 19. He's also part of this. Uh-huh. So there's a 30-year-old and a 19-year-old in this group right away, which makes the whole thing a little weird.
How old is Wayne?
22.
He's okay.
22. Yeah. So he's in the middle there. Then there's Jennifer Lee Keller, and she's 19 years old as well.
Okay.
And then there's Cynthia Ann Blomgren, Cindy Blomgren. She's 19 also. So there's three 19-year-olds. And Cindy's boyfriend is Daniel Edward Naylor, who's 24 years old. So that's the family here. All right. You got Wayne. You got Michelle and David, a couple. Lyle, Jennifer, Cindy, and Daniel. And Cindy and Daniel are a couple.
Ranging from 19 to 30.
19 to 30, a weird menagerie of people that have somehow come together to make the Ground Round the place to be in Rochester, Minnesota. They are going to
part-time
take the Ground Round to the next level. Well, they need to share the shifts. That's all it is. They're just sharing shifts. So all of these people here, they all kind of, they are always hanging out. They have obviously they're the family. It's a close-knit group here. And there's all of their relationships over time. There's kind of shifting relationships with these people are friends. Now these two hang out more. Now they're in a relationship romantically. Then they're not. Then these ones are. Anytime you have a group of people like that, that's, you know, split with the genders and everything, you're going to get people hooking up and then breaking up and hooking up. And this is their social circle, though, so they don't really go outside of it. So they just kind of trade back and forth with each other, it seems like.
So far, there's just Wayne and that other girl that are just by themselves, right? That don't have boyfriends or that don't
and then Lyle, too, I think.
And Lyle,
but I think they're saying that Lyle and Jennifer were together for a minute, then they weren't. It's one of those things. Wayne seems to be the odd man out as far as girlfriends go. Either way, that's how they're living, basically, here. All of them live in like three different places. A couple roommates here, a couple roommates here. And then we told you the three that Michelle, David, and Wayne all live together in a house. They live in a house owned by Sandra Molitor, is her name. And now they were working in Alexander. They moved to Rochester. They asked Lang to move with them. They were like, yeah, come with us also. You know, you're part of the family. Let's do this shit. including, I mean, and they're all tight. Like, they all went to visit Wayne's family in Pine City and spend a day on the farm. And Michelle brought her kids with her as well. You know, brought the three kids out there to have a nice day on the farm. And
it's fucking like 11 people. 10 yeah. people? 11? It's a lot.
There's a lot of people going on here. Yeah, it's all sorts of people going on. It's like a weird, strange, weird little Minnesota, a polite Manson family. You know what I mean? Very polite.
They're starving for a leader, unless they just follow the 30-year-old guy because he's the old one.
Naylor's the leader. Naylor is 100% the leader of this
19
group.
19 years old.
No, 24, Naylor is.
Oh, 24.
24. Yeah, he's going out with a 19-year-old, but he's for sure the leader of this group. There's not even no question of that whatsoever here. So, yeah, they know each other's families and all that sort of thing. Lang is regarded as kind of the group fuck up. He's the guy that they're all going to kind of, I don't know if everybody picks on him. They don't really pick on him, but he's kind of he doesn't have the standing of the others. I don't know why that is. I don't know.
Just a nudge.
He's not in a relationship with anybody. He's kind of the odd man out. They said that he, at a certain point here in October, after the move and everything in this last week, he's kind of been interfering in the relationships of everybody else. He was trying to get two of them to break up, and he was he's kind of just – he's been a nudge, like you were saying here.
Yeah.
Also, they thought he was stealing from one of them. One of them thought he might have been stealing from them. And Duncan and Naylor, they suspected that he might be a police informant.
Oh, yeah. What drugs are they doing?
No, they're not doing many drugs. It's not a matter of drugs.
No drugs?
Well, they're just going to tell about whatever. They're doing some drugs, but they don't have like a drug ring or anything. They're not selling anything. They're just partying.
They're not drug addicts? They just use them recreationally?
Yeah, that's all. Okay. Yeah, they're off time from the ground round. You know how it works.
So what is it that he's worried about being informed on?
I don't know, but they're a little bit into Satan. You know that much. We'll call it a lot of bit into Satan. They like Satan stuff a little bit here.
Really?
But they're not shy about it. That's not something that they're, hiding or anything like that. Naylor spoke actually to a community education class in 1988 and about Satanism. He had a big presentation about Satanism that a teacher brought him in to make. And he told the class he was a high priest in a satanic group.
At that point, he is.
This little family is what he's talking about.
11 people.
People. And three of them are small children that don't even know what they're talking about. But still, high priest. Well, you got to start somewhere. That's the thing.
Yeah.
These people, you know what it is now? People want instant gratification. They're going to go out there. They want to start a cult or a satanic family or something. They think they're going to start out with 50 people underneath them. No. You start out with 5, 6, and you build. What the fuck?
Patience.
Yeah, you got
grassroots.
No, Rome wasn't built in a day. You know what I mean? What are you supposed to do? You think you open a restaurant and it's just full all the time? You got to promote it. You got to get good buzz going around. People got to go, now that satanic family, that's how you party right there. Those are the people I'm a part of. Telling you right now.
Those people are going right to a sweet spot in the ground.
Right in there. You know that's happening. So either way, there's all sorts of evidence here of all of this. Satanic kind of stuff. They have all sorts of just like books and shit like that. Naylor and Lang both describe themselves as warlocks as well.
Jesus
so,
Christ.
You know, there's a lot of that sort of stuff. Now, up to Halloween week, leading up to Halloween here, after the big ground round hiring and everything, the three women that we're talking about here, Michelle, Cindy, and Jennifer, they all decide to... Naylor's discussing with the women performing a Halloween prank on Lang, right? Because Saturday night's a big Halloween party they're all going to go to. And then afterwards, they want to pull a big prank on Lang, a big Halloween prank, where they're going to call it the Warlock Test, okay? Which automatically makes me think of Rulo Nebraska's arm test, which is the Warlock Test, which I don't know what that is. If you're... Well, we'll do this. If my dick moves that way, it means that you're an idiot. And if it moves that, it's one of those things. So it's a mock ceremony where they would remove Lang's clothes and then just leave him outdoors all night to embarrass him.
Of course naked happens.
Yeah, naked. Yeah. And then
why wouldn't that be part of this?
And then they're all going to run away. Like, they're going to have a big ceremony with candles and all this shit and get him all naked and get him standing there and in some sort of trance, and then they're going to fucking run away and be like, ha ha, and then he's going to have to find his way naked back home. That's the
pull a rope and a very cold bottle of jug of barrel probably of water falls on a naked man.
It's a very Fast Times at Ridgemont High kind of a prank. You know what I mean? It's some guy covering his balls. It's a dumb prank. So they're going to do all of this shit. They even, the women even went out and they bought costumes. Yeah. They got all these candles. They bought fake blood, all this stuff. And they were going to do this fake witchcraft ritual to fool him. All right. And scare him because, you know, they're going to basically be like, you're not a warlock. Like, you think you're a warlock? Obviously, he's a warlock. That guy's a warlock. But you? Yeah. Come on, man. Wayne, please. Who you fooling, buddy? So Saturday, October the 28th, 1989 comes around. Obviously, Halloween is, what, Tuesday?
Tuesday.
So this Saturday is when all the parties are going to be happening, obviously. Yeah. This is the time for Halloween parties. On that day, one of the group, we don't know who, we never find out exactly who did this. Somebody bought, I don't know if they all chipped in to buy the high priest a gift. You know how they buy like a priest a gift because he's been doing a lot for the parish and he doesn't make any money? They're like, here you go. We bought you this flask or whatever. Right. I assume they're drunk. I don't know. So
A nice bottle of wine.
They bought him a dagger. It's a boot knife, if you know what those are. Yeah, those are the ones that have... They have the flat part on the bottom. Yep. There's like a T on the bottom. It's basically a T, and you hold it kind of between your hands, and that's how it works there. It's one of those, boot knife. You watch an Old West movie, everybody yanks one out. So they gave him the knife as like a big gift that day. Here you go, high priest dipshit. Here's a knife for you.
So you can make a fist, and it comes through your knuckles.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Pretty cool. So he gets the knife, Naylor. He shows it to Cindy Blomgren. And describes it as his new toy. He's like, check out my new toy. And he's like, you know, swiping all around the air with it and probably doing some weird shit. Look at me, I'm Bruce Lee. And he's like,
this is what I would do in a dangerous situation.
Yeah, well, I'm fucking badass.
He probably won't.
I feel like he's probably not probably a badass. Can. Yeah, you're gonna run away probably. Be like, I'm a high priest. Ah, and then run away. I said I was a high priest. Be nice. They're all gonna come for you. So they end up going to a party that night. This is Michelle, David, you got McIntyre there, Cindy Blomgren, you got Jennifer Keller, and also you have Wayne Lang, and then David and Naylor here.
Okay. Are we leaving the kids alone, or is somebody staying behind to watch them?
Does it matter?
They're alone.
With everything else that these kids have probably been around, does it really matter if they're with anybody or not? She's 25, so I assume her oldest kid can be what? At the oldest, 9? Probably?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe
10?
If shit really went awry. So 11 either way.
If it was like real questionable.
11 if someone's in jail because of it. So... Either way, they're all there. I assume someone's watching the kids. It's Halloween party night. You know, she's got to go out. So they're going to party. And during this party, they're all hanging out and everything. Naylor takes Lang's beer, gets Lang a beer, and he spikes it with sleeping pills. Yeah, he pulls a Dahmer on him, basically.
Horrible.
Does all that, spikes it. It's amitriptyline. That's the sleeping pill there. And actually, Wayne goes unconscious, passes out for a while there.
Really?
Yeah. And then Naylor jumps on top of him, strangles him, rapes his corpse, and then eats his penis. No, he doesn't. That's what Jeffrey Dahmer would do.
That's what he would do. Yeah.
Your eyes, you were like, oh my God, this story just took a really dark turn.
In front of everybody at the party?
Wow, at the party? Did he go like, hey, everybody, look at this first? And he stood up on a coffee table or something?
Hey, y'all, watch it.
He got on the peak of the roof and said, I'm a golden god, and then did it. Like, is that what happened? Then jumped in the pool. So either way, he's unconscious. He's doing his shit there. And at the party, too. This is Naylor's night, okay? This is the type of guy he is. He knocks his friend out with sleeping, but spikes his friend's drink, which is super fucked up.
Yeah.
Then There's some other people there that he doesn't know, I guess. There's a bunch of people from the Ground Round. It's like an employee Ground Round hangout and a bunch of their friends. And then there's some party crashers that come and Naylor doesn't know them. So he gets in a little altercation with a couple of them.
It happens, yeah.
Where before any fist can be thrown, he pulls out his dagger and starts threatening people with it and swinging it around. Okay, so that's his first instinct is, I got this new toy. I'm going to show it.
Yeah. Usually when you have a weapon, it's used for self-defense and not instigating.
That's ideally, yeah. Right. He's an instigator, though.
They should have never given him that gift.
No. This show, Small Town Murder, is sponsored by BetterHelp.
BetterHelp.com.
Absolutely. And maybe your social battery. Where are you monitoring that right now?
Oh, boy.
You drained down? Too much socializing from holidays? Not enough? Maybe some people hole up in the winter?
Sure.
And therapy is the thing. Therapy can help give you some self-awareness so you can build a social life that's not going to drain you or leave you wanting more here. So we totally are 100% advocates of therapy here. It's great for you. There's a million things it can help you with, and this is one of them, because social stuff is something that it's really hard not to struggle with nowadays, especially even social media mixed in the mix. It's difficult. It really is.
Overwhelming.
Therapy can help, and if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
Yeah.
We very much recommend it. Entirely online, designed to be convenient and flexible. It's suited to your schedule. Mm-hmm. You fill out this brief questionnaire. They very quickly match you with a licensed therapist, and no additional charge. You can switch therapists at any time, which is a big deal, because that's sometimes you're not vibing with somebody and you need to vibe with somebody. No additional charge for that at all. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/smalltownmurder today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/smalltownmurder.
And now back to the show.
Hey, everybody, just going to take a quick break from the show to tell you a little bit about the safest sponsor that's ever been, Simply Safe.
Oh, SimplySafe.com. SimpliSafe.com.
Springtime's coming here. So you got the spring, you got fresh air, fresh starts, and you clean your house. That's all fresh. It's also the perfect time to give a fresh look at Simply Safe Home Security. Make sure your newly cleaned, nice house is secure. That's important.
Well protected,
It's the only security system that Jimmy and I will use, and we recommend it highly. We both have it on not only our studios, our houses, anything we have that needs protection. Simply Safe is the way to go. It's so easy to install that even we can do it. You guys will love it because you'll feel secure. You will not be small town murdered in your own home, is what it is, if you have Simply Safe, because they're going to protect you. They're trusted by experts. It was named the best home security systems for 2024 by U.S. News and World Report, and Newsweek awarded Simply Safe the best customer service in home security. Simply Safe has given us and our many listeners real peace of mind, and I want you to have it too. We want you to feel good. Get 20% off any new Simply Safe system when you sign up for Fast Protect monitoring. Just visit simplysafe.com/small. That's SimplySafe, SimpliSafe.com/small. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Now back to the show.
So they're all fucked up a little bit, you know, just partying and everything.
Yeah.
Middle of the night, the party breaks up, 2 in the morning, somewhere around there. They decide, all seven of them decide to pile into Blomgren's car and drive out to the country. Let's drive out to the country, everybody. What do you say?
Bad idea.
Let's do it. Yeah, who doesn't like that? So they stop at a soybean field. It's a farm that grows soybeans near, it's Iota here. So during this, when they stop the car, they're hanging out. Naylor begins arguing with Wayne, and then starts punching him intermittently, just out of nowhere. So Lang is still not all the way with it because he's been drugged. So he's still kind of half-ass out of it. Basically, he can stand and he can move around, but if you told him, you know, gave him a math equation, he'd go, he's not...
And throw a punch at him, you're going to hit him.
You're going
to
hit him.
He's not going to be able to move.
His is going to be a little slower coming at you. It's going to be one of those. So
he's going to have a lot of bruises.
It's going to have a lot of bruises. So they do all of this. After while this is going on, there's a little bit of scuffling. Then Naylor just starts dragging Lang away from the car and off into a dark field. Just drags them off into there. Once they get out into the dark field, we don't know exactly if any of them, Duncan will end up here in a second, but we don't know if he was right next to Lang when they're being,
when this is
going on here. So either we do know that Naylor and Lang are out in the field and Naylor is the one in physical control here. So I don't know, understand how the fight, there's not a real fight. It's just Naylor beating up on Lang. And then out of nowhere, Naylor pulls out his boot knife, pulls out his dagger, and slashes Lang's throat.
Whoa.
Slashes his throat. Slashed it again and then again. Three times he slashes his throat. Okay?
Okay.
So, slashes his throat, and obviously Lang goes to the ground. His throat is cut from ear to ear. So it's
wide open.
He's like a Colombian drug dealer that went awry and, you know, he's been taught a lesson. Good. Yeah. It's not good. So he falls to the ground, obviously dying here. But Naylor doesn't stop attacking him.
Really?
He keeps on stabbing, and that's the least of it, as we'll talk about here. In the end, Lang is, his face is beaten. He's been punched and kicked in the face, slashed across the neck at least three times. It'll say later on. They can't tell because some of the wounds look like they might be more in there.
Crossing over, yeah.
He was also stabbed in the chest, cutting one of his pulmonary arteries when he hit the ground. Then they say that it's a double-edged dagger about an inch from the edge, about an inch from edge to edge, so an inch wide, and at least 5 inches in length. So you can picture
that's a big fucking knife.
That's a big fucking knife, and he's stabbing him in the...
Wow.
Yeah, but then that's not enough, though. It's not enough for Lang, because... Or that's not enough for Naylor to do to Lang, because, you know, he's finally got a body here in front of him, and he's got to do some cool shit to it, obviously, because he's going to show what a high priest he is of the, I'm a warlock. Hey, you know,
that's
how it goes. Look at me. Hey.
Yeah.
So as this goes there, Lang's abdomen was, as they say, scored, which if you've ever made tomato sauce from scratch, you know, you score the bottom of the tomatoes, which means you cut a little X in the bottom of the skin and then you boil them for a while, and then you just peel the skin right off. It pops right off after they're a little softer. Well, he did this on his midsection. He cut a big X in his midsection.
Okay.
Just a big giant X across it, all carved out. He even had to turn the body as well to do other things to it. So he wrapped
all the way around it.
He was playing with him for a while.
Yeah.
The X was incised shallowly in Lang's neck, and the dagger shoved through the center of the X into a vertebrae. So,
oh my God.
That's what he did. Yeah. He made like a whole thing. He made an X and then he pushed the knife through the middle of it, like X marks the spot.
Yeah.
That's what he did, man. Like
right into his back, into his spine.
He did it both ways. He did it in the front and the back. He did it in the front and got his heart and then the pulmonary artery, and then he did it on the back and hit a vertebrae.
What is that about?
This is whatever the ritual whatever he's trying to express through this is, I don't know, but I think he's trying to show off to the others. Yeah. To me, this reeks of like, I did this. So while I did it, I might as well make it like a calling card of mine and make it cool if I'm going to do it. Yeah.
Like Manson, make it witchy.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Put some shit on the walls. If you're going to fucking do it, misspell some words in blood, please. Right. So there, obviously, this is a fucking disaster. Later on, it'll also show just that Lang did have the sleeping pills in his blood and a large amount of alcohol as well. So. His sobriety is going excellent, clearly. So now once he's dead, Naylor goes and asks Duncan for help in getting Lang's clothes off. Help me get his clothes off of him. Why he wanted to get his clothes off of him, I have no fucking idea. But the others end up kind of going back to the car, and he tells them after they take Lang's clothes off that if asked, they should describe the evening's events accurately up until the time of, that we left the party. So, we went to the party, there were some people there, blah, blah, blah. That's all fine. Once we left the party, though, tell them that Lang was dropped off at the house that he shares with Duncan there and Michelle and after the party, and no one saw him after that. Just that's our story. And if anybody doesn't say that, you're in deep shit with me.
You've seen what I do.
You've seen what I do. I'll cut an X on your goddamn chest. So on the way back to Rochester, Naylor shows the others his bloody arms under the dome light. He turns the dome light of the car on, has blood all over his hands, and he says, all, I'm sure, cheesily as shit. Yeah. He says, this is death.
Oh, good Lord.
That's what he's doing. Yeah, this is death.
We're aware.
We get it, bro. You fucking jackass. And then he said again, just to let you know also, I'll absolutely kill anyone who tells on me.
Oh,
clearly.
Yeah.
So Naylor stays with McIntyre. They stay together. Yeah. So McIntyre and here, a Lyle McIntyre are a little team right now. And they later on, Naylor is telling him all about it too. He said that what he did to Lang was he, quote, chopped him up like a piece of raw meat. That's his brags here. That was when they were driving back. They said that they also went to a place called The Farm at about 4:30 a.m. This is Naylor and McIntyre. 4:30 a.m. looking for a friend of Naylor's. Because, you know, 4:30 is when you want your friends to stop by.
That's early.
This is a woman who lives at the farm named Laura Dornack. She answered the door, talked to Naylor. Naylor, who doesn't, like, try to act casual, establish an alibi, he tells her, I just came from killing this dude. Which, there's already, what, five other people that know about it. Mm-hmm. Now you're going to tell somebody else. This is not...
One more.
This
What's
isn't
one more?
Not laying good groundwork to get away with a murder. We'll put it that way.
There's going to be more.
No one is ever going to get in trouble and need to get out of it, or no one's ever going to have a hint of conscience or anything like that. It's never going to happen.
You tell me this. If I get pulled over for speeding, I'm spilling it if it's getting me out of this ticket.
Yeah, on this idiot? Fuck that. You get a parking ticket. Hey, don't tow my car. I know of a murder. Give a shit.
Just drop it. I'll give you everything.
Come on. So he tells her, I killed Lang. You know that guy Lang? I killed him. Then this is weird. He asked her to smell the blood on his hands.
Ew.
Smell the blood on my hands. This is trying to
smell
be all creepy.
Finger. Yeah.
He showed, smell my finger. Pull it and then smell it, goddammit. Fingers for pulling and smelling. That's what they're for.
Not bad.
Never mind articulation and fucking being able to eat food.
Writing.
And now, that's
pulling
it.
And smelling.
Pulling, smelling, and fingering, obviously. That's what it's for. So, he tells her that he shows her the bloody clothes that they took from Lang's body, and he mentions all the other people that were there. Got to incriminate them as well, obviously.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Get them on scene.
Yeah, you know. He said that they planned to drug Lang and then kill him, and that he killed Lang by slashing his throat, stabbed him in the chest. He told them all, I did all this stuff. At that point, his friend here, Dornack, notices blood on the left knee of his pants because there would be blood after doing all that.
Probably, yeah.
So Naylor and McIntyre then drive to a bridge over the Zumbro River where they throw Naylor's shoes and Lang's shoes into the water. And then later they went to McIntyre's house where they noticed blood on more fucking of his clothes. So they had to go dump more shit over there. So the body is found early the next morning because it's just in these people's soybean field.
Right there. Yeah. All right.
10 a.m. on a Sunday morning, some poor bastard finds this carved up person in their yard here. They call the coroner and everything. They start a death investigation. It's about 60 feet from a gravel road, 10 miles east of Rochester. No attempt to conceal the body. It's definitely there to be found. Wow. It's absolutely splayed out, shirt
Nude.
Open so you can see the X. Underwear, yeah. That's it. There's okay. underwear on him. They didn't want to. That was one of those where, like, we don't want to look gay, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, we're, like, Satanists and murderers, but, like, bro, I don't want people to think I'm, like, gay and stuff. Like, chicks will dig me if I'm in prison for this. I don't want them to think, like, oh, no, he likes fucking, you know, he's a cock smoker, man. I don't think he'll want to be in on this, dude. You know what I'm saying, bro? Yeah, man. Then they high-fived and fucking put their hands in their pockets of their acid-wash jeans. Fucking jackasses. So the coroner said that he bled to death, Lang, after extensive slash wounds of the neck and stab wounds of the heart. That'll do it.
Good Lord.
That'll do it. And they noted everything else. They said it clearly happened sometime in the night, probably early Sunday morning, saying that the wounds were relatively fresh when the deputies arrived on the scene. And it's October, you know, late October in Minnesota means it's chilly at night also. So that'll help preserve it a little better. It definitely was refrigerated overnight. So that helps. Early reports of the discovery call him an unidentified body, saying only as a white male dressed in undershorts. And by the evening, no one had come forward to identify the body. They put that out there and they're like, nobody knows this young person? Like, that's crazy. So then they start releasing a little bit more information, as little as they can. They release distinctive tattoos that he has.
That'll get some people talking.
Yeah, and they said, that's when they discovered who he was. But the cops said, at this point, we have no suspects. We haven't zeroed in on anything. They said they don't know if maybe he was killed here, or maybe there's an outside chance he may have been killed and then brought here. You'd think by the amount of blood there, they'd realize he was killed at the scene.
Yeah.
His heart was stabbed and his throat was cut. That's a shitload of blood.
He's 60 feet off the road. Is there any blood in between the road and this body?
Any of that?
If there's a shitload here and there's none in between, he wasn't carried here.
Wasn't carried. Exactly. So there's rumors, obviously, once they find out who it is. Mm-hmm. First of all, they talk to Pat Daly, who's the manager of the Ground Round. Got to talk to him first. Let's get the Ground Round manager in here. He said that he talked to some employees because he had heard about this whole thing. And employees said that Lang was at the party and he was last seen about 2 a.m. One of his cooks told him that someone had slipped a sleeping pill or something into his beer during the party. So he told the cops of these rumors. He also said several people crashed the party, got into a scuffle over a woman, and that one of the guys brandished a knife. And his friends took it away from him and all of that shit. So that's what he knows about it. Once they hear about it a little bit, they hear that it's been found. Naylor goes to the law enforcement center to identify Lang. He's like, I'll go there. I'm going to identify him because I heard it was him. They need someone to identify him. So Naylor, McIntyre goes, and Duncan, they all go down to identify him separately.
Really?
They all make separate statements that, yeah, Lang had been with me at the party, but, you know, that was it. We dropped him off at the house. The concocted story. Then, October 30th, the next morning, an anonymous caller calls the police.
Who do you think it is?
Well, they would have to be one of only two people if it's not Naylor, because the caller tells police about Naylor's visit to Laura Dornack the previous day.
Oh,
so a 4:30 in the morning visit to your friend where there's only you, your friend, and another friend there. You know who made that call, probably. It's not a big circle here. So then police went to talk to Dornack, and she gave everything up because she has nothing to do with any of this shit.
Yeah,
so they
4:30 in the morning. And she probably was less than happy to have them.
She's probably terrified. If someone shows up at your door at 4:30 calling yourself the high priest of the family, he's got fucking blood up to his elbows with his boot dagger out and blood all over him going, I just carved a guy up like raw meat. You're like, sure, how can I help you, pal? No problem.
Smell my finger at 4:30.
Yeah, you want to spare here, pull it and smell it. Pull it and smell it, lady. So, I mean, I would help him too, probably. Yeah. What you need, pal? At that point, we're all buddies. So they arrest everybody. They arrest all of them. All six of these idiots they arrest here, obviously, which makes sense. Dornack doesn't get arrested, though. So, which is understandable. They all indicate Lang was drugged at the party. They all kind of give the same story. Then they also talk about how they disposed of Lang's clothing, his own clothing. Lyle gives that up. They talk about some items of physical evidence. They talk about the warlock test that they planned on Lang.
We were just going to leave him naked. That's not much of a test. How do you pass it?
Well, if you pass it, that means if you survive and your dick doesn't get gnawed off by a fucking groundhog or something, that means that you're really a warlock, apparently. That's how it works. So
the worm's out and no birds pecked it, so you're a winner.
Physical evidence also. Pants were taken from Naylor that have traces of human blood that couldn't be matched to a particular person. They found Naylor's dagger, which matched the size and shape of the wounds on Lang's body. It was seized from Blomgren's grandparents' house, which is funny there. They found a shoe identified as Naylor's in the Zumbro River, along with both of Lang's shoes. And they did search warrants of all the homes and cars of everybody here. And they seized several books on witchcraft after hearing of the witchcraft angle in this whole thing. And the other kids keep saying that they are kids. People keep saying that they were that we thought we were taking Lang out to a farm to be assaulted to teach him a lesson. We didn't think he was going to kill him.
But a lesson for what?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because he was interfering in our relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they said they agreed to with Naylor about the alibi, but they didn't, you know, send anyone to find Lang because they were afraid of Naylor. So they were like, that's why we didn't tell he was there. During this whole thing, they described themselves as a family of all this shit. Self-described. They're all going to be charged with murder at first here.
Is that right?
Yeah, several of them talk about the witchcraft angle of the whole thing, but they all say that witchcraft played no role in the slaying. It's like, well, it was at least you faked a lot that had to do with it. You sure pretended to be into whatever the fuck, you know, not witchcraft, right. But I mean, with some whatever shit you were doing. I don't think an X and a stab in the middle, that looks pretty, quote, ritualistic, like an attempt to make something look ritualistic when you don't know what you're actually doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Accidental or self-defensive stab wounds oftentimes do not have any rhyme or reason.
No, this is like
especially a big X with a stab in the middle. That's you got nothing to stand on.
This is some fake dark shit. This is like the Urban Outfitters of fucking the dark underworld. You know what I mean?
Nobody's ever heard draw two X's front and back and stab it in the middle. Nobody's ever heard that.
This is Hot Topic Satan. That's what this is. Hot Topic Satanism is what this is. It's just all about t-shirts.
Nightmare Before Christmas Satanism.
Yeah, and books and stuff. That's all. So they all kind of give up what's going on here. They said that they knew Naylor had a knife, and they said that Naylor struggled with Lang for several minutes doing something to him that they couldn't see in the field. Duncan denies any part in the stabbing, but said he did. He and others didn't stop Naylor, nor did they alert authorities. Michelle Tochi, she said that she just froze when she saw what Naylor did, which would be a normal reaction to seeing that. So
sure.
Duncan also says, quote, it was my feeling that Naylor believed Wayne Lang was a narc. And that was possibly, the reason for all this type of thing here. So, and they said that they had been upset with Lang for meddling, quote, in the relationship between Cindy Blomgren and Naylor, and for making sexual advances toward Keller as well. So who was McIntyre's girlfriend? They were hooked up too. So, you know, Jesus Christ. They also suspected him of stealing a ring from Michelle. So obviously we're going to do a warlock test on him. Jesus fuck. So they said, did you believe that Naylor was like a warlock, a quote, warlock, high priest of black magic? That was the question they actually asked her. And she said, quote, I didn't believe him. She said, that was her quote. She said she read parts of several books on the occult and didn't think that he was all, you know, didn't think he had it going on here. So that's wild. Wayne Lang's family said it was such a great shock to us that they were involved after we'd gotten to know all these people. These were all close.
They didn't know about any of it.
No, they were just a close-knit social group that they were like, oh, it's so nice that our son has friends. They seem like a nice group of friends there. That's good. That's wild. So the others here, they're saying they might seek one trial for all six of these people or maybe do separate trials. They're trying to decide what to do after all this. They let out Michelle, Cindy, Jennifer, and McIntyre out on home detention on
house
bail.
House arrest.
Then they revoke it and set bail at $250,000 for each of them, which is a different story, and none of them make bail. The sheriff said it's very difficult to sort out the facts and know what has happened. Not really. It's pretty simple.
I mean, if you're a cop and you really need to know why, then yeah, it's probably going to be difficult. If you can just knowing what happened, it's simple. That's easy peasy. Yeah.
If you talk to homicide detectives too, they go, I don't give a fuck about the why. The why is not my problem.
Fuck
not
why.
An issue. Who, where, when, and with what? That's it. That's what I need to know. That's proof. The why is fine for your own personal.
It's great. Yeah,
just for fun
and shit. Yeah,
but it's not, and it doesn't mean anything legally. You know, the why.
And sometimes the why won't give you closure. It'll just make it fucking worse.
It makes it more irritating.
Yeah.
So David Duncan, Michelle Toch, Jennifer Keller, Cynthia Blomgren, they all plead guilty to it's a first degree manslaughter is what they do here. So because they're all involved with it, they are sentenced to Okay. It's you children and adults and men and women and everybody.
People
may,
with a lot going forward.
With may fuck off 86 months on the kidnapping charge and 110 months on first degree manslaughter charge with the sentences to run concurrently. So
each
110 months. They all get that.
Wow.
They all get 110 months, which is
each.
Yeah, that's what, 10, that's fucking 11 years. Almost. Yeah, that's a decent amount
that's
of time.
Lot.
So they're being given credit for time served, obviously, during trial. All of them could be eligible for parole in about 6 years.
Okay.
On this. Now, they also order that they pay $1,799 to Olmsted County for the cost of the cemetery plot and funeral for Lang as well.
Wow.
So there's that. Now, they all pleaded guilty, and obviously they are all going to fucking testify. That's part of the deal. They all testify. McIntyre says he couldn't remember much of what happened that night. He just couldn't remember. So they were like, the DA, while they're questioning him in court, is reading him his statements. Remember that? And he's like, it's all very fuzzy.
So foggy.
So fucking fuzzy, man. It was Halloween. He made the statements and they're just fuzzy. He said he saw Naylor grab Lang by the hair and then pulled something out of the middle of his back, which is where Naylor had the dagger clipped to his jeans. He had it in his belt there. So McIntyre says, as far as he knows, he's telling the truth. He says, but, quote, I've forgotten a lot of stuff.
How would you forget something
in
like
general,
that?
Yeah, and it's like 4 months later, too. This trial isn't 3 years later. It's like 4 months ago. It's
how many murders have you seen, kid?
The craziest thing that you've ever been involved with in your whole life. And it's not like you blacked out at the time and just don't remember anything that happened. You knew what happened 2 days later, but now 3 months later, you're a little fuzzy and shaky
it's
on
patchy.
It. I don't know.
What?
I've done a lot since then. Put it that way. I've had a lot happening with my life. You know how it
lots
goes.
Lots of shifts at the ground round.
You know, the ground round really takes it out of you. It grounds you to a round. It really does. Grinds you down. He said that he didn't even think. He said, quote, I just reacted. He said he didn't intervene in the fight because that was between Dan and Wayne. Hey, he said, what could I do? Should I have gone out and got beaten up too? That's what he said.
He didn't get beaten up, man.
None of my problems.
He got murked. What if you wrap your arms around a guy? I don't know. Fucking anything?
That's why. He had to plead guilty, by the way, to second degree murder. He was the one who was an outlier. He got 124 months. So he got an extra 2 years than everybody else. So Michelle, the one with the kids here, she testifies about what happened in the car on the way out from the murder, after the murder. And they said, who turned on the dome light? She said, Dan did. They said, what did he do? She said, he held his hands up and he said, do you know what this is? Pointing at the blood. And nobody said anything because it's obvious, I'm thinking.
Yeah, because we knew.
Yeah, you're covered
we
in blood,
it was
dipshit.
Rhetorical.
Yeah, it's like taking your rock hard cock out and going, you know what this is? Got a pretty good idea, Chief. Yeah, they could do. As a matter of fact,
do you need the answer? Is that what you're looking for?
Pretty good fucking idea what you got happening. So she said, nobody said anything. And then he goes, this is death. And then he made the comment that he didn't think he could do it that way. Like, I didn't think I could do it that easy, but fucking, I carved him right up. So they said, what else did he say? And she said, and he said this was the second time he had done it. And he told several people afterwards that this is the second murder he's been a part of.
Oh,
now, they tried to get this excluded as hearsay. Automatically, the defense was like, whoa, hey, no. But the statement was offered for its effect on her, not as. So they got that's some smart lawyering there. They snuck it in there. No, Your Honor. This is about how that statement affected her and her actions going forward. Not to lay a groundwork to say that this guy's obviously a scumbag who may or may not have murdered more people and put that in the jury's mind. Not what we're doing at all.
That was a lawyer Iverson level crossover.
Wow, Jesus that is Christ. That's impressive. That is impressive agility right there. Holy shit. So, she said that she made false statements to the police until Naylor got arrested and she was sure that he couldn't harm her. Then she came clean. Satanism takes the big role here. They object, Naylor's attorneys object to three types of evidence that talks about his involvement in witchcraft slash Satanism slash whatever they're saying it is. So there's testimony by various witnesses about his interest in witchcraft and Satanism. They have photographs of the covers of books about witchcraft seized from all of them and the books themselves there. They're all questioned about that over continuing objections and everything like that. Naylor discussed his interest in witchcraft with Jennifer Keller and told her that he was a warlock. He described himself as a warlock to Cynthia Blomgren, to David Duncan, to everybody that would fucking listen to him. Sure. Everyone at the every customer at the ground round.
Yeah.
I'll have the 10-ounce sirloin and you're a warlock. That's very nice. David the warlock, or Daniel the warlock was on his name tag. So they testified that he described himself as a warlock, a satanic high priest, and all this type of shit. Always with the objecting on that sort of thing. But the court admitted all this, saying that the witchcraft and Satanism involvement didn't abuse the discretion, and it was actually relevant in this case. So the book that they mainly talk about here, They take photographs of everything, like we said. The photographs only show the cover of the books, and they don't really have a lot of prejudicial effect from their cover art, they're saying. There's not a big deal. But there is one book that it is a big deal, and we'll talk about that in a second because it takes big precedent in the deliberations. In closing, the state comment says this. This is the state's closing. Just look at those elements and you can resolve this. You're not going to resolve every single issue that's hanging in this case. In fact, some of the witnesses said, I'm telling the truth and the defendant knows the truth. We're never going to know exactly what happened out there, but you certainly have enough evidence before you to find the defendant guilty of first-degree murder, having premeditated with the intent to kill Wayne Lang on the 29th of October. And I ask you to come back with a verdict of guilty in this case. Thank you. Did you see anything legally untoward about that?
No.
Okay. Well, that later on, he will say that is the prosecutor talking shit about him to the jury that he didn't testify.
Oh.
Yeah, saying that in fact some of the witnesses said I'm telling the truth and the defendant knows the truth. So they're saying that he's saying that he said that to say that he should have testified, which is not – that's a really big stretch. No
way.
He
knows the truth and he refused to tell you.
Yeah, if he said that, that would be different. You're not allowed to say that.
Right.
So over the deliberation, the jury asked for the books that were taken to take into the deliberation room with them. They wanted to look them over and while they deliberated and
see if anybody murders anybody in there.
Yeah, to see if they can get a nice family going on, get a coven happening. So
there's 12 of us and we kind of like each other.
That tells you that they were very, very much intrigued by the satanic aspect of it, and that is what had a lot of their deal here. The book, there's 12 books altogether. The 11 they have no problem with. The 12th book, though, is the one they have a huge problem with. It is State's Exhibit 85, and it's called Satanism, Is Your Family Safe? Which I tried to get it in time by now. It's not available in an ebook or anything like that. I ordered an old copy of it, and it's coming. You can still get this book. It's on Amazon. You can get an unbound copy for $10.99. That's a handful
Loose
of papers.
Pieces of paper.
It's a handful.
They show up in a Ziploc bag.
The UPS guy just throws them at you. And hope it's not windy out when it happens.
They're not in order.
No, you just figure it out. Or you can get the audiobook of it, which I was like, awesome. But the audiobook's only the audiobook is only available in cassette version. So I'm like, for real?
Nobody's read it.
It's $7.99 on Amazon. I bought a used version that has got the cover and everything. Is Your Family Safe? Satanism. By the way, the seller I bought it from, I'll find it in a minute. It's fucking hilarious what it is. It's written by Dwayne Schwartz and Ted Empey, and it's got a guy on the front in a I'll post it on social media. It's got a guy on the front in like a cloak, and he's got his hands like in front of his forehead with a knife coming down, and it's that exact dagger that Naylor has.
What?
It's pretty much the exact same dagger. So they're saying that book is a big deal because of the cover. They said the book has a striking cover photograph of a man in a priestly robe holding a dagger which is similar to that owned by Naylor and thought to have been used in the killing. As its title suggests, the book takes an anti-witchcraft, anti-Satanism position in reporting various allegations about witchcraft and Satanism in the United States. The book suggests that the crimes committed by witches sometimes remain unsolved because prosecutors are reluctant to charge crimes that include possibly unbelievable details of witchcraft involvement, which is horseshit. That they see that and they're like, immediate conviction. Yeah. I get 12 people from the suburbs. I sit them down. I tell them there's Satanists out there, and they scare the shit out of them, and they'll convict them no matter what. We've seen it 100 times. West for Memphis sure. 3, for Christ's sake. I mean, it's the whole thing. So either way, though, they say that it's a little much. The book includes a specific charge to jurors. In the book, this is said, and it's not the prosecutor doesn't say it, but this is written in the book. It's like a note to future jurors. Literally, it says, so long as jurors shy away from convicting people with alleged satanic connections, such atrocities will continue.
Oh, my God.
The atrocities will continue, Jimmy.
It's like a threat.
It's a threat. Yeah, you better convict him or else your kids are going to be found in a field with a big X carved on their chest and their throats cut.
More.
So they deliberate 9 hours on this. Uh-huh. 9 hours because there's multiple things. And they find him guilty of first-degree murder. So he's guilty of first degree, premeditated, and he's also found guilty of using a felony of using drugs to injure or facilitate a crime.
Hey.
So they got him on both. Sentencing comes around, and he has his chance to say something.
Yeah,
to show he's a human being at least and try to get some mercy. He says, quote, I'm sorry that your son was killed, but I did not kill him.
Oh, my.
Thank you. That's all he has to say. So the judge says, you, sir, may fuck off. Life in prison. How's that?
Yeah.
Life in prison and the drug. He has a shitload for the drug, but it's all concurrent, so it doesn't matter. Okay. Either way, the family, Wayne's family, said 30 years is not life in prison because at the time the statute for life was 30 years. Mm-hmm. They said that they want the legislature to put more bite into sentencing guidelines. It says, it seems like nowadays the sentences are just a laughing matter. So this is what caused all of these terrible 90s death penalty sentences, because people were so mad that they were like, 30 years isn't enough. So now we kill innocent people. So, well, okay, back off from that. At some point, we'll find a sweet spot where we put guilty people in jail for the right amount of time. Yeah. And, you know, we'll find it.
30 years. You know, if it weren't for a mortgage, people would never be able to quantify 30 years. That's so fucking long.
Even a mortgage is like, oh, I'll be dead before that's paid off. Who cares? That's what you think. Like, I'm sure I'll be dead in 30 years. Who lives that long? You know, it's not going to happen.
But if not for that, because there's nothing else that in our lives that is 30 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, you worked for 30 years. But even then, if you worked for 30 years, that's so fucking long.
It is. It's a long fucking time. So he appeals this case, obviously. He appeals it. The main thing is he's going to not win the appeal. He's trying to say that they said he didn't testify and all that. But he does say during this appeal, it's a 6-1 decision. And the court for this appeal, the dissenting opinion, they throw out the sentence on the drug charge, though. There's a weird thing on that. It's a legal matter. But the dissenting opinion says, I disagree with the majority that it was harmless error to permit the jury to take the book Satanism, Is Your Family Safe? To the jury room during its deliberations. The defendant is alleged to practice Satanism, and the title of the book alone suggests to jurors that he's a threat to themselves and their families. It's clearly error to permit a jury, while pondering the fate of an alleged warlock, to have access to a book stating, so long as jurors shy away from convicting people with alleged satanic connections, such atrocities will continue. I would reverse the convictions and remand the case for new trial, but they don't. That's that. So Wayne is buried at Brook Park Cemetery in Pine County, Minnesota. Mm-hmm. He's got a nice little tombstone, and Wayne is still in jail. So, or not
good.
Wayne, Daniel's still in jail. So, I mean, it's been over 30 years. He's still there.
Yeah.
So, and it says expiration date life. So he's still, there's no, release date, or I don't know what's going on, if he's got parole hearings or anything, but he's in there now. And that is Eota, Minnesota, and a Halloween spectacular. Does it get more Halloween-y than that? Jesus Christ.
No.
Only no. If it was like a candy poisoning would have been the only way to make it more Halloween-y.
That was heavy, man. And it was a Halloween party and Satanism.
It's all there, man.
Were they in a Toyota up there in Eyota, Minnesota?
It was a Toyota, Eyota, Toyota. That's the one dealership. Come on down to Eyota, Toyota. No banks, but we have this one Toyota dealership. If you like that, tell the world about it. Get on whatever app you're listening to. Give us 5 stars. Say something nice. It helps drive us up the charts. Head over to shutupandgivememurder.com right now. Get your tickets to the virtual live show October 27th and a week after, so you can still get it right now. You can watch it. You can do whatever you want with it. Have fun. Enjoy. Just like a live show. Get your tickets right now. Also, patreon.com/crimeandsports. Anybody $5 or above, you get all the back catalog and new episodes every other week. No matter what we put out bonus-wise, you're going to get it. Crime and Sports bonus this week, which you'll have access to. Len Bias, who was the number one overall NBA draft pick in 1986, was supposed to be the future of the Celtics. Him and Larry Bird were going to change the world, and then he dropped dead of a heart attack the day he got drafted from cocoa use. So that's interesting.
I'll make you believe in witchcraftery.
There you go. Yeah, maybe it was witchcraft. Laker witchcraft, we don't know. And then also for Small Town Murder, we are going to talk about the difference between Netflix Jeffrey Dahmer and real life Jeffrey Dahmer story.
That's a lot.
Of the different things. It'll be a lot of fun. patreon.com/crimeandsports, and get your shout out at the end of the live show. Follow us on social media at Murder Small on Twitter, at Small Town Pod on Facebook, at Small Town Murder on Instagram. You want to follow us, go to the website shutupandgivememurder.com. Follow the links. There you are. Thank you so much, everybody. Till next week, everybody. It's been our pleasure.
If it's not glue, it's not the real thing. Bye.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Small Town Murder early and ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus and Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Loro, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.